Let's make our way to the chairs and stand in front of them if you would like. We're going to praise the Lord this morning. Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands and shout. Redeem out, come to dance. Celebrate, to celebrate, he reigns. Lord reigns. Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, redeem have come to dance. To celebrate, he reigns. Lord reigns, Lord reigns. Lord reigns, we will sing and shout. You reign, you reign, you reign, forever King of all. Let all the people sing of your awesome power in all the earth. Let darkness tremble at your name. Why do the nations rage when the King is on the throne? Now and forever you will reign. Lord reigns, Lord reigns, Lord reigns. We will sing and shout. You reign, you reign, you reign. Forever King of all. The Lord reigns, Lord reigns. Sing and shout, you reign, you reign, you reign, forever King of all.
Amen. You're right, man. Lord, but if you could just have a seat for just a second. Welcome, everybody. Is it up now? Are we working okay? Good. Can't hear me. Can't hear me. All right, better. Test, 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 test. I'll just talk loud. All right. So, just want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome people who have been here so many times, and this is just part of your life. Welcome. I want to welcome those who are considering themselves to be new here. Welcome. We love that you're here. And anybody who's the first time, that is reason for our joy that you would be here. And you are surely welcome to share in this experience. And my name is Matt Gotts. I'm one of the elders here. And I do a service leading kind of thing. If there's a testimony you'd like to share, just come and check up. With me over here with my wife, and I'd like to give opportunity to give God the glory in what's going on. But we just want to share that this time that we have here is designed. It's a design for worship, and what we do in that worship is we proclaim the truth of who God is and His. The word worship comes from worthiness, the worthiness of Him receiving all of that adoration, love, proclamation of the truth of who He is. So that's what we get invited to today. And however, in this design of worshiping, we are blessed. Yes, we are ministering to the Lord, but one of the results is that we are blessed. And especially as we come in and we leave the burdens at the cross, we even lay our crowns down at the cross so we can make it about Him. But we do realize this is really good to be a part of. Almost, you know, selfishly, this is good. And it's good for each other as well. So, but it's also a blessing for those we are going to be coming in contact with this week. Some of the situations we know about, some we don't. There are things going on right here today that are going to impact the way you interact with others in the world, many of which don't know who Jesus is and how important He is. So, I want to read from Psalm 51, just a couple verses. Psalm 51, verse 10. This is a guy who was king of Israel, David, but he also really messed up. And he had some really, really bad decisions of the heart. And he is struggling with that. And yet he comes and he says this, because it's going to go with what Eric's going to talk about later today in the presentation of the word. David says, create in me a pure heart, meaning that his heart's messed up at the moment, but he's trusting his heart and trusting his heart to God. Create a clean heart, a pure heart, O God, and renew, bring it back, a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. In fact, we're going to sing, Come Ye Sinners. So we're not getting cast aside. We're actually being invited in. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. That's some of the blessing. Then this is what we do this next week. I will teach transgressors, other sinners, your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. So we get restored so that we can be about participating in the rescue mission that He is about all across Richland County right now, or wherever you're going. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, for you are God my Savior, and that's the table we're celebrating, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. With your tongue, with your heart, with the Spirit of God within you, let's sing.
Please stand.
Thank you. have a seat, and I'm going to invite Kay Vega. Yep, it's that time to come up, and she's going to lead us in the Lord's table. I do just want to make this point because of the little difference in the configuration, just so that we kind of have good order. If people could come up down these two aisles, and the people in the center section, they could come up as well and kind of fill in. But as you go back, if everybody can kind of go around the outside, and then even the ones in the center going around and then come back up, that'll keep a log jam from happening up here. So, yes. Yep. Sure. Yep, that's a good point.
Said everything I was going to say. So I'm going to start out with one that's a little bit different, and this is from John 13. It's Jesus washes his disciples' feet. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped the towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter. "You shall never wash my feet," Jesus answered. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean." So, I was thinking about how we prepare for the Lord's table. And some of it involves reflection. What do we need the Lord to clean? And I told myself I'm not going to cry today. But we are clean. We've accepted Christ. We are cleansed from our sins. But I got to thinking of the old guy in the 1500s, Martin Luther, and he had a lot of sermons about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and those are the three things that get us during the week. It's like we have an electrostatic charge on us that just attracts dirt, you know? And so we do need clean. We need our feet cleaned before we come in. The world affects us in a lot of different ways. We pick up the attitudes of the world. You know, we look at things as the world does instead of as God does. And it could be any number of things. And the flesh, certainly, we contend with that. I want what I want, and I want it now. And I don't care how many people I step on to get there. And that needs to be repented of. And then the devil. The devil prowls around as a roaring lion. And Jesus called him a liar. You know, the father of lies. The destroyer. A thief. He steals from us. And we just need to recognize that. So I think it's a good thing to take a moment of reflection before you come up to the table and just see what the Lord needs to clean. Does he need to wash off your feet? You know? And then this table serves as our strength for the coming week. So we need to leave our baggage at the door, so to speak. And Christ invites us to come and dine with him himself. And we need to recognize that we have done
salvation.
There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus.
So break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. He'll break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Praise you, Lord. Lord, we worship you this morning. Lord, we call on you, Lord, to break every chain that's holding us back. Just like in groups of like two or three where you're sitting, if you don't have to identify it right now, but pray for the persons around you, just that whatever chain they are contending with by the power of the name of Jesus would be broken. Just pray that over one another here while the music is kind of playing. Just let's live this out. Let's actually act upon to one another and be the priesthood that we are called to be in that regard. His children, our brothers and sisters, and we get to care for one another as He cares for us. It's very, very wonderful to think about. In that, I'm going to invite Jerry to come up. He's got a testimony from one of our sisters he's going to share.
So that I don't take very much time. So if I go over a half hour away. As I was sitting there thinking this morning of what I wanted to share with you from Dorothy Fuller, I can't help but look up and I see Matt up here and faithfully standing here full of the Spirit of God. And then Kay comes up and she guides us in coming to the table and the goodness of God. And one of the things, I don't know if you recognize it or not, I'm sure you do, one time or another, there's something that I do when I come into the sanctuary intentionally, look at and meditate upon. And what? It's right here. It says, I have seen the goodness of God. Holy Spirit. And as Matt called us together to pray, I sensed as Linda and I were praying with Jim. And then we were together with family this week and we're praying, and I was reminded of something my brother said to one of our great grandkids. He said, just ask the Lord to reveal Himself to you. She said she didn't believe. He said, that's okay. Just ask Jesus to reveal Himself to you. That's an opportunity for. And as we look at the rest of this, we find that in His presence is the fullness of joy. And then over here, is, and in every season, I will praise Him. And yesterday, or it's Friday, I went to Dorothy Fuller's to visit her. And just imagine for a moment, it's a little easier for me now to imagine this, but there was Dorothy, and she's been by herself all day. She cannot physically go out of the house and go anywhere by herself. She has to depend on someone else. And believe me when I say this, Dorothy is full of the joy of the Lord. And she was sharing some things with me, and I'm not going to go into all that, but what I do want to remind us of here today, because of the joy of the Lord, because of His presence here, this here particular book that I have, this came to the Owls via Brian Judd. And Brian liked to pray for a little bit. And then he said, let's do something. Come on, let's go. We got to do something. But on the front of this, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. And so, for just a few moments, maybe an hour or so, I was at Dorothy's this week. So I'm just going to share a little bit of what she said, because she went through a number of stories, and the more I listened, the more excited I got, and just sensed that presence of the Spirit of God. And so it came to that point where I said, well, Dorothy, I said, how do you do it? She said, I'll tell you how I do it. I'm going to tell you a little story. Now, I've heard this story or something like it before, but here it is. Dorothy, she is so thankful and full of the love of the Lord. She told me of the story of a little girl reading a Harry Potter story. And she was sitting in the seat in an airplane when the pilot came on and announced that the plane was going to experience some turbulence. And the passengers became agitated and frantic, but the little girl was unfazed. And the person sitting beside her asked her how she could stay so calm. And she calmly said, the pilot is my father. And he will land us safely. And when we are going through the life's turbulences, we stay calm in the Lord, and He will take us safely through the storms of life. And then I served communion and broke bread with Dorothy, and she appreciated that so much. And she just, I told her I was going to come and share her stories with you. And she says, don't do that. She says, they'll think that I'm bragging. Praise the Lord.
Experience the Lord's presence right here in this whole special time. So, if those who are serving today, I think it's the gallery group, if you guys would be able to come up and collect the tithes and the offerings. Angular baskets, those are for the little communion cups as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we just we are so thankful for this time that we get to spend with you, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit moving in our midst and with each other, and we are very blessed by it. We just offer back to you another part of our worship, our tithes and our offerings, just so that it's not like you need it, but it's just an act of worship, and we want to glorify and lift you up as the good God that you are, the good Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe the dance team is meeting, is that at your house, right, at Debbie Key's house at 4:45 tomorrow afternoon to learn a new dance. If you like to dance, carry a banner or wave a flag, meet at Debbie's house at 4:45. Call Debbie or Angel if you have questions. Is Angel here? Debbie's right up here, and you can check in with her. And I know it's that's a blessed time of being together as well. Tomorrow evening, the ladies' Keys to Freedom study meets at Judy Nichols' home at from 7 to 8:15, and the men's Keys to Freedom study meets at 7 p.m. in the Lion Room, just behind the lobby in the nursery upstairs. This week, seven teachers are going to go to Japan to teach English as a second language and will be using our building for their orientation. I know many are helping and serving in that capacity. Next Sunday, March 30th, Mansfield Christian School Choir Image will join us for worship. We will collect a love offering for Image next Sunday. Also, the teachers heading to Japan will be introduced during the morning worship. And following the service, during the potluck lunch, we'll have a meet and greet. And so for the potluck, please bring plenty of food for us as we will have the teachers with us as well. And someone told me a long time ago, teachers bring their appetite. So I don't know where that's coming from. But as well, some of the choir members and their parents will be here as well. Thursday, the ladies meet to pray from 9 to 10, also in the Lion Room in the morning. Thursday through Saturday, April 10th through 12th, our church, GFC, will be hosting the annual Table Fellowship Conference. Registration link is in your bulletin that you can get on the back table if you haven't picked one up, and I think they're available online as well. If you would like to volunteer to help with making coffee and replenishing the snack area during the conference, please email the church office to check in with that. Okay, now, just want to call up all the children that are going to be leaving for Sunday school and being dismissed here. Just come on up, if you would, and gather right here in the center. And if the rest of us, here they come, lots of energy, hopping along. Have you heard the spring peepers yet, anybody? Have you heard those out here in the marshy area in the front yard? Okay, it's that time of year, so celebrating the frogs a little bit. Let's go ahead and extend your hands over these beloved ones, and we will pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your work in action. You are doing things amongst these young ones that is going to produce fruit, and we trust in you in that. We trust that they are going to be in a situation where we get to hear the goodness of who you are as their good Father. Bless the teachers who are sharing that good news with them, and that they take it into their hearts and it becomes just a part of who they are, that your Holy Spirit would cover them. We ask for this time ahead, and in Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. And with that, I'm going to invite Eric to come on up and bring us the word.
Well, Laura brought to my attention that Hannah's birthday's today, so happy birthday, Hannah. And Aiden's tomorrow. Happy birthday, Aiden. So. All right, so how many of you like to hike? Does anyone here like to hike? Has anyone here gone on the prayer trail, the little prayer trail behind here? You know what's funny is I tried to go on that, and the first part was okay, and then I got lost. I couldn't follow the trail. Why do you think that was? It got overgrown. So if a trail is not used a lot, what happens is trees will fall, grass will grow, and it'll become difficult to follow. You know, there was a time I went with a buddy on the Appalachian Trail, and one thing they do is they have lots of people that maintain the trails. And they will do a thing called blaze. You know what a blaze is? A blaze is they will do a color of paint. They spray paint like a little rectangle on trees. And there's kind of a code. If it's the trail's changing directions, there'll be two blazes, and it'll be like kind of the direction it's going. And if trails coincide for a while, you'll see two blazes. It might be a pink blaze and a blue blaze. And you have your map, and you kind of then the blazes will help you to know when the trail's verging off of itself. You know, our minds are like that. We have trails in our minds, and those trails get established by being used a lot. And sometimes in our minds, we will have lies that we have believed, or paths that we continually go on mentally. And those just become the rut, right? The way the water flows of our thoughts. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of renewing your mind. And what's interesting is there's a spiritual aspect to this, but there's also a physical. As neurologists have analyzed this, there's a thing called neuroplasticity. You may say, ooh, that's a fancy word. That's a quarter word you can take home with you. But neuroplasticity is that, you know, if you and I will direct our thoughts in new ways, we can have new paths that our minds will form. And Romans 12:2, if you want to turn there with me, is a great verse that talks about this idea of neuroplasticity. God knew about this way before the scientists did. And, you know, if you would turn with me to Romans 12:1-2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. So there's this, in that idea there, the Greek talks about being transformed, that you know, don't let your minds be conformed. Squeeze like Play-Doh into a mold by the patterns of this world. And I thought Kay did a great job presenting the idea. The world, the flesh, and the devil are always trying to push us in our minds into a path, right? And we may become comfortable in that path. Maybe we walk that path a lot with our minds. Sometimes you might have recordings, I would call them, from your childhood. Things that were said to you. You're no good, you're useless, or different things that were said to us that stick with us, and those recordings play over and over in our minds, don't they? And we have to say no to those, and we have to go down a new path. So we're going to be looking at this idea of renewal of the mind. We're doing this Keys to Freedom study, which is rooted in the theme for this year, which is use your freedom that you have in Christ to love God and others well. But some of us, we may know Christ, but we're not walking in freedom. We are still bound, maybe by our thoughts, maybe by the patterns of thinking that we just continue in. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you what? Free. So we're looking at that. What are keys to freedom? Because if you and I are not walking in freedom, it's going to be hard to use that freedom to love God and others well. And what's interesting is the verse we use for this theme is in 1 Peter. And it says, do not use your freedom as a means for covering up for evil, but use it to serve others. You know, if we are free, but then we're living, using that freedom to live in sin, it'll lead back to bondage. It's going to be going down those paths, those old paths, and God says, leave those old paths, go on these new paths, this new way of thinking. So, our belief systems include what we believe about God, ourselves, the world, and others, and we're going to look at six aspects of that. Now, if I was to summarize this, if we could go to the next slide. When you and I renew our minds, our lives will be changed. Stinking thinking leads to stinking living, so we have to get our minds renewed, and the Word, God's truth, is what allows that to happen. So that's one reason to memorize Scripture. That's one reason to read it daily, to remind yourself of that. This book is not just like other novels that you read once, and then you give it away to the library or somewhere else. It's a living Word, and it is always speaking and reminding us of what will lead to freedom. So let's look at the first aspect of this. Number one, we need to know who our enemy is and how he operates. Kay, she almost preached my sermon for me, so thanks, Kay. It was great. I love it when God works together, isn't it? Yeah, so we didn't collaborate about this. She just was going with what the Lord was leading her towards. John 8:44. Turn with me to there. So I'm giving you a reason to bring your Bibles today. So that is a good thing, right? Sometimes we bring them and we're not cracking them open. So John 8:44. This talks about Satan, who is our enemy. So John 8:44. And he says this. He was saying to the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do what your father desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Again, Kay, thank you for bringing that up. Lies, right? That's Satan's native language, is lies. You know, and that relates to renewing our minds. Sometimes you and I have believed lies. I would say the most effective lies are the ones you're unaware of. The ones that are sort of close to the truth. Maybe they jive with your experience, but they are not the truth. Like I was saying earlier, maybe there's those statements made by people in your past that have stuck with you. And they were somewhat true, but they aren't absolutely true. You know, they might have said, you're lazy. Yeah, sometimes we're lazy. But we are not defined as lazy, right? That's not who I'm always am. And so we hear those things, and anytime something comes along that might affirm that lie, it'll cause that path to go deeper and deeper. And so we have to learn to say no to those patterns of thinking, to the lies of the enemy. So knowing that something is a lie is important. And how do we know what's a lie? We got to know the truth. But more than just knowing this, also, I think gathering together with other believers, having others be able to speak into your life. I think of those out here of you that are aware, and you're willing to talk to me, or you're willing to talk to others, and you're willing to call out truth in people's lives. Or when someone says something that's a lie, to gently say, I don't think that's true about you. I don't think that's true about you. I think that this is the truth. And maybe even showing them in the Word. We can, as brothers and sisters, point out the truth to one another. And maybe you recognize where someone is believing a lie, and you can encourage them and exhort them in the truth with gentle, loving truth. Number two, if we could go to that. The second aspect of renewing our minds is you have a choice in your thoughts. You have a choice in your thoughts. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know, I've used this before. I think it's a great illustration. We used to have a dog named Buddy. Not Buddy the elf, but Buddy the dog. And Buddy was a tough dog to train. And he would often walk us. We would not walk Buddy. Have you ever had a dog like that? He was a little bit bigger. He was like a lab size. And I remember, you know, I always tell a story about Talia. She's here today, so this is great. We told Talia, you know, when you walk Buddy, you got to hold on to the leash. Because if Buddy runs, it'll be very hard to catch him. So she was very good, you know, 5-year-old or so at this time. And so she was holding the leash, and Buddy took off, and she was not going to let go. But she fell on her face, and Buddy started pulling her along the sidewalk on her face. She didn't let go, but she got kind of scuffed up from that. She was crying. I kind of got the dog and her. Buddy was walking Talia, you know. And often our thoughts are like that. We let our thoughts just run wherever they please. We don't tell our thoughts to heal. Right? Heal. Nope, you're not going that. Nope, you're not going that way. So if you've ever trained a dog to walk right, you got to kind of pull it back. Maybe you have one of those special collars that will get it in line. But you and I have a choice in our thoughts. Another way of thinking about this is, you know, we can't always control what thoughts come into the room. Imagine your mind like a big table in your house. You always can't control who comes in the room, but you can control who sits down at the table, who you invite to the table. You can't always control what thoughts come into your mind, but you can control who you invite to the table. So you and I, we need to be aware of what thoughts we're allowing to sit at the table with us. We need to take captive every thought. So we've looked at our need to know who our enemy is and how he operates, and the fact that we have a choice about our thoughts. The third aspect of renewing our minds, number three, the power of agreement. What we choose to agree with has power over us. What we choose to agree with has power over us. You and I may make an agreement with a lie. We may pledge ourselves to a lie even without realizing it. So let me think of some examples. Here's an agreement. I have to prove myself. And that might be rooted in a lie, I believe. Like, unless I am excellent in everything, I'm nothing. Right? There might be a lie in that. So that agreement, then you say, I have to prove myself. And then you will turn to things for comfort or defense with that agreement. So you may move towards workaholism or perfectionism. Because you believe that I'm nothing, and the only way I'll be something is if I prove myself. So then I will comfort myself or defend that lie by being a workaholic or being a perfectionist. Another example might be, God doesn't hear me or care about me. What would be the lie there? Maybe you prayed and God didn't answer the way you wanted. Maybe he said no or there was silence. So you come to this agreement that God doesn't hear me or care about me. So then the way you might seek to defend that or comfort that is you become obsessed with being in control. Another example is someone might say, you're too sensitive. So you agree. You say, I'm too sensitive. And so then the way you comfort or deal with that is you shut down emotions because I'm too sensitive. Or some other examples, you know, I can't trust authority, or all men are out to hurt me, or all women are out to hurt me, or depression is just who I am, or God will always disappoint me. I'm damaged goods. I'll never get past this struggle. On and on and on. There's different things that you and I can make agreements with. And after we make an agreement, anything that resembles that agreement seals the agreement again. She says, yes, that's true. Something happens in your life. As a teen, you might say, God doesn't hear me. And then in adulthood, you experience a loss, and he confirms it. Those agreements can often seem like indisputable facts for us because our experience is constantly affirming them. So how do we break and identify the agreement? So here's some thoughts. Pay attention to what plays over and over in your mind or what comes out of your mouth. Ask God to highlight those and bring them to light. Ask God to bring the light. What are things I'm always saying? This is just how life is. You know, comments that you make. Have you ever challenged those? Or has anyone else ever challenged those? Ask God what is happening when you make these agreements. What's happening in you? Maybe ask him disagreements start? When in the past did disagreements start? What was the person or what happened? What was said to me? And then you can use authority that Christ gives you to speak out loud to the enemy in the name of Jesus and to break that agreement. So naming that agreement and confessing and breaking it is an important aspect. This is not necessarily a prayer. This is something maybe to say out loud because you're addressing the enemy. He can't read your mind. As we talked about, Greg maybe brought up a few weeks ago, a lot of the things in our life are like a tree. There's roots to them, then there's the trunk, and then there's the branches that lead to the fruit. You're dealing with the roots and the trunk in this aspect, and you're breaking those down so that the fruit of them is not happening. So this idea of confessing, repent to God, and ask God what you have used as a source of protection from this lie. Surrender your protection to God and ask him to be your defense. Replace the lie with God's truth. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12 with regard to this point. Hebrews 4:12. It says there, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So replace the lie with God's truth. One practical exercise for this is writing out truth statements from the Bible. If you have identified some common lies, some stinking thinking, some paths that are well-worn in your life, it may take some intentional effort to stop going down those paths. So writing down opposing things that say, these are truth, this is truth, not this way, but this way. And start to memorize those, meditate on those, go down those. When you're tempted to go down that other path, you say that truth. No, this is not how it is. This is not how it is. So finding, if you're struggling to find those verses or statements, that's something to talk about maybe in your circle group. Ask other believers, hey, do you know any good verses that speak about this topic? And I'm sure you'll get a slew of them from various other believers. You can also sometimes use like a topical Bible or your concordance, maybe you're looking up that word, find other verses that speak to it. As you're reading in your Bible and doing your daily devotions, if a verse you're reading comes out, highlight that, write it down on a note card. I often find that when I'm going through something, the Lord will bring me to passages, or certain verses in those passages will jump out to me, like the Lord's speaking to me. And if I don't write them down, I'll forget it. So that's a moment when God highlights something, write it down. Put it somewhere where you're going to remember it. The fourth aspect of renewing your mind is hearing the truth from the Lord himself. Hearing the truth from the Lord himself. This is why God's word is so important. It's why memorizing verses related to common lies you encounter are dealing with is so important. So I wanted to kind of elicit from the congregation a little here. So consider this question, maybe raise your hand if you have a thought about this. How do you hear the truth from God himself for areas where lies of the enemy seem to be loud for you? Let me say that over. How do you hear the truth from God himself for areas where lies of the enemy seem to be loud for you? What do you do? I'm just curious. What can we learn from the body here? How do you hear the truth of the Lord where the lies of the enemy seem to be loud? What do you do to kind of combat that? I see Tom back here, and we'll get the others.
sometimes has some bigger situations than just like little problems that people have, and it's real nice to kind of like know that for I ever am in that situation, or if other people that I know are in that situation, then that can help me know how to help them.
Thank you, Ron. And I think, oh yeah, Bill, sure.
Put you back here. I give a hearty amen to what Eric said about writing out the truth the Lord brings to mind. And I echo that greatly because I do that in journaling my feelings and thoughts to the Lord about what's going on, what scripture he may be revealing. And the neat thing is, I've looked back on these journals in years and am reminded of the way that God spoke to me about that specific scripture and truth to renew it in my mind for the present.
And one thing I'm thinking about is Bill sharing that. You know, I imagine as he goes and looks at those older passages, his thinking might have changed a tad bit since then. You can see then maybe how those paths that you used to walk on are being changed. So there's something about journaling. Yeah, that's an important aspect. So I'm sure there's many other thoughts on this. This would be something to share in your circle group. Just how the Lord helps you to hear the truth from him himself. The fifth aspect of renewing your mind is speaking the truth out loud. Hebrews 2:4 speaks to this. It said, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So, speaking the truth out loud to yourself, but speaking the truth out loud to others. We read in Hebrews 4:12 the idea of a two-edged sword. And one comment on this is that the one side is from God's mouth, the other edge is from your mouth. So it's a two-edged sword. And I don't know if you realize, this is something that hit me recently. Someone was saying, when you are speaking out loud, it short circuits your thoughts. So sometimes I will be tempted or I'm hearing a lie, and I'm maybe saying that in my mind, I'm trying to go against that. But that it doesn't seem like it works in my mind. But when I say it out loud, there's something about speaking it out loud. It short circuits my thoughts and gets me in the right place. So as you are writing these verses down, say them out loud when you are being confronted with these lies. Say it out loud. Now, it might be tricky if you're in the middle of your office or somewhere else. People might think, why does this person say this stuff? I mean, you could whisper it if you want to, but it's important. Speak these things out loud. To rebuke it out loud. Saying the truth out loud to yourself. And number six, the final aspect of renewing our minds that we're going to look at today is renewing the mind is an active process. Lies get torn down over time. Like I talked about in the beginning, those hiking trails aren't immediately just wiped out. We have to actively neglect them. That's a weird phrase, isn't it, though? But actively neglect going that way. Let it grow over. And actively choose the other way to think, the other way to go. Stop walking on those paths that are so well-worn. Start walking on new pathways. And thankfully, computers don't do this. But I remember back when they first were being used, there was defaults in your computer. And when you would go and change things, sometimes when you rebooted it, it would put everything back to the old default. And you'd have to go back in and change all those defaults. That's sort of how our mind is. For a while, you may each day have to go in and change those defaults of the way you think. You start thinking that stinking thinking, and you say, no. Say it out loud, I'm not going that way, I'm going this way. And it may take that intentionality, that active process to stop going down those paths. And maybe talking to your friends or your family and giving them permission to speak into your life lovingly. You say, hey, if I'm going down this path, can you lovingly say, whoa, you're doing it again. Let's go the different way. Utilizing your community to help you in changing this is an active process. Giving permission for others to speak lovingly into your life when you're going down that path again of thinking or how you're speaking. So just as we conclude today, we've been talking about renewing our mind. We're going to be digging into that a little bit in our circle groups. I encourage you, this is one of those keys to freedom. And Romans 12:1-2 is a great one to memorize. voice speaking to you? Yes, Linda. Yeah, sure. It's good to get the mic so others can hear it. Yeah, if they're watching the recording. There you go.
I thought it would be interesting to add something when you use the word pathways. I think something physiologically that's very interesting, and it's helpful to me to know that your mind actually has pathways, obviously, when we have thoughts and pathways. That the more we use a particular pathway in our mind, which is a thought, so the more we speak truth to ourselves, it actually carves a pathway into the brain that becomes wider and wider. And this is like, you know, the lamest information about the physiology of it. And so it is easier then to focus on truth as the more we do it, because it's the fastest way to travel on that pathway in our brain. And when we don't do it, it's like carving a whole new path, like a new road, continuing to focus on truth creates a kind of a term for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Very true, very true. Okay.
So, as I'm working with, a lot of times I'm working with youth, and they say something that is contrary to the truth. And what I'll ask to try to help them realize it, I'll say, who said that? Who said that? And what I mean by that is this. First of all, when we hear something in our mind, there's one of three people who's speaking. It's either us, it's the enemy, or it's God. So the first thing we want to ask is, does that sound like something God would say? And then we need to determine, is it an attack from the enemy? Or is it just a lie that we need to refute? But I find that to be incredibly helpful.
Well, let's close in prayer now. I want us to break into circle groups. Let me just say one more time that the thesis for today, when we renew our minds, our lives will be changed. It's an active process. You're involved, God's involved, but that leads to freedom from living in lies, those chains. We talk about chains being broken. My desire is each one of us to be free from the chains, and we can be, and it's a wonderful thing. So let's walk in the freedom that the Lord gives us. Let's renew our minds in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you identified this so long before all the science did, that we need to be part of renewing our minds in the truth. Would you bring that about? Give us insight this week, just in ways that we need to change our thinking to agree with what's true, not with what's a lie. Bring freedom to each one here, and give us hope if we feel like there isn't hope. Give us perseverance to stay the path. Give us community to help us along the way. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So here at Grace Fellowship, we say a benediction, which is a blessing. And we just do it actively by standing up and raising our hands just as an act of receiving that blessing. And then I encourage you to go to the circle group of your choice this morning. So go forth this week intentionally allowing God to renew your mind with his truth. Decide to let your mind walk on new paths. Know the truth